No.
And we'd just like to welcome everybody tonight, members of the board, and everybody in attendance. Good to see you guys. And so we're gonna move forward with an approval of this draft agenda that's in your folders, it's the first item. And I would like to add one item to the agenda just after the public or guest remarks. I would like to add the election of officers for the board. That's something we need to take care of. So with that change, do you all have any other changes you'd like to suggest for the agenda? If not, do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll do that.
Patton makes motion.
Second.
Second, Tom, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and now we will move on to public or guest remarks. And I see we have a few here today. Would anyone like to address the board in, for a few minutes? Okay. We will move on then to the election of officers. And every year it is a requirement of the board that we install officers to proceed the year. We have a chairperson, a vice chair, and a secretary that serve on the board. So we will entertain nominations for chairperson.
I nominate and move that we elect by acclamation those people who are serving in positions now for the next term.
Okay, so to clarify, that would be?
I'll go second.
Okay, we have a.
Before any further discussion.
Okay, that would be myself as chair, Patton as vice chair, and Donna as secretary. And we have a motion and we have a second. Is there any discussion? I know you said no discussion, but. Okay, do we have all in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Actually didn't need it, I said motion by acclamation.
Okay, well, thank you, Tom. I was trying to get out of it somehow.
Robert's rules of order.
He's the expert, but we really. Acclamation.
Acclamation.
We will move on now to the approval of minutes of the June meeting, and those are in your packet. If you'll just take a minute and review those minutes. That was the meeting that was held in Saltville. We did have those emailed to us. And if you have anything that you believe should be changed, anything in here? Yes, Nellie?
I had something that I wanted to be added. Mm-hmm. Actually, at the Saltville meeting, we discussed hiring of janitorial services for Saltville.
Okay.
And that wasn't listed anywhere in here, so since that was a financial.
Okay. All right.
A meeting or something of that as well.
So we will amend the minutes to reflect the discussion of janitorial staff for Chilhowee?
No,
for Saltville.
Saltville. That's right, because Chilhowee has
Had it already.
So we'll amend the minutes to reflect that. Are there any other additions or corrections to be made to the minutes? If not, do we have a motion to approve the minutes for the June meeting? Patton has a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Kristen, second. All in favor? Aye.
And Margaret, I'm abstaining because I was not at it.
Okay, and one abstention, Patton. Also, Tom. All right, we will now move on to the approval of the June disbursements. If you'll look at that in your packet.
So I'll say a few things, if that's okay.
That'd be great.
So, as Sheila noted, this is probably the most disbursements this library has ever had in one month in history.
Yes.
When I met with the budget committee, we were still very concerned that we were going to have a lot of local money to carry over, which in general is bad because the Board of Supervisors feels like if we don't spend the money they gave us, and we're carrying over large sums for year to year, then we don't really need what they've given us.
Right.
So it's not good to carry over a lot of money. So
no.
We made a very concerted effort, as you can see in this month, to kind of not only spend the money, place the orders, but to get the invoices paid before June 30th. And so Sheila did a magnificent job of staying on top of every single invoice, every single delivery, you know, getting it checked off so that we could write that check and get it out the door. So there were a couple things in here that are unusual that you would not have seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So on June 3rd, Starnes Refrigeration for $2,700. That was a repair to the air conditioner. I think last month I told you all that the air conditioner upstairs had gone out. Starnes did come in, but it was a pretty bad leak. And so the bill to repair it was something we hadn't anticipated, and that was $2,700.
Okay.
On also from June 3rd, you see OCLC, and it's $1,200. We went ahead and paid the whole year ahead. We've been paying it monthly, and it's just painful, and it just makes extra work for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we prepaid that for the next year, so we're done with that, and we don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
And again, that was a deliberate decision. On the 9th of June, Advantage Archives. This is the company that's digitizing 7 years' worth of the Smith News and Messenger for us. We have done this in the past, but we had not had money, so they had accumulated in the closet 7 years' worth. So we shipped all of that off to them. They are digitizing it for us, and they will provide it back to us in two formats. One will be on a hard drive, but they will also set up a website for us that will be accessible to patrons while they're in the library. We can't make it accessible outside the library for copyright reasons, but the digital copy we can make accessible in the library to people.
And so what will you all do with the hard copies once the digitization takes place?
So Helen and I have talked about that. She was going to talk to the museum downtown to see if they would like the donation of them. I'd rather not keep them because they take up storage space in the closet and they're kind of a fire hazard. So we're just going to keep a year at a time of back issues. And hopefully now that we're caught up on 7 years' worth, we can stay current and you know, do them a year at a time so it's not such a big expense.
Right. Okay.
There was also, on the 16th of June, I spent $2,300 with Overdrive. This is for the digital books, and we're part of the Southwest Virginia Consortium. And so July is our month to buy normally for the consortium. I went ahead and did it in June again so we could spend that money in June. But so the way the consortium works is each library has a month when you're supposed to buy for the consortium. And so I did our month for this year.
Is that a standard? Every month, each library pays the same thing?
Yes. Well, I mean, you don't have to spend exactly the same amount. It's no less than $1,500. What I did is went through and looked at what our patrons had on hold. And so I bought, you know, copies to meet all of our patron holds. So it was a little more then. And the terms on Overdrive are, they vary. Each publisher kind of tells you how long you can, you're buying a license for the book. Unlike hard copy books, you're not keeping it. So some publishers will have a title and they'll only allow you to buy it for 1 year. Others will only, they'll make you buy it for 2 years. So if you want it, you have to really want it, and it's a higher price to buy it for 2 years as opposed to 1 year. So there's some of that also, but I did buy all the things that our patrons had on hold so that our patrons would be taken care of. Sherwin-Williams on the 22nd of June, that was paint to paint the children's department. We had some lovely community volunteers from the Caring for Our Community organization in Marion, who volunteered to come in and paint, and they did a lovely job, but we bought the paint, so.
That was really nice. I saw that on Facebook. Would we send them a thank you card for those efforts? I mean,
yes.
that was really, really nice.
No, and they look, it looks wonderful. And
yeah.
I just want everything else painted now.
Yeah, that's nice. That was really nice of them to do that.
And we 24th of June, Find a Way. These are the playaway devices that I showed you at the last board meeting, those orange tablet things. And so, and those are for the children, for the seniors, and for some adults. And then the last one I would mention is on the 30th of June, the Global Equipment Company. That's the lockers, the $2,247. Those are the outdoor lockers. And so Byron has been very busy installing lockers everywhere. And so ours are installed upstairs by the book drop in the front of the library. And Saltville's are installed outside. And we're just waiting on Chilhowie. There's some concern about where to put them. We want to put them on the front porch of the old gym building. Heather's a little concerned that there are folks who worry about the appearance of the building, and they might not want the lockers on the front porch. But we have to attach them to something so that they don't fall over. And so we can't move them around. So she has to work with the town to figure out if they're going to agree to attach them on that front porch.
It's not a very large space.
No, it's not. Happily, the lockers aren't very big.
Okay.
Byron, what are they?
They're about a foot wide. They're 7 feet tall, and like on the front porch down there, you know, you got the archway. You've probably got a foot and a half of brick on each side of the archway.
It's a little nook.
It will stay hid, you know, from, you won't be able to see it from your front porch until you walk in, and then you can see the locker beside you.
How many lockers?
There's six. It's a tower of six lockers.
But there'll be one locker itself going to Chill House. Okay.
Yeah, so there's a tower.
Six spaces and then one locker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So those are almost ready to roll, but that's what that expense was. Everything else, I think, is the normal stuff that you're used to seeing on our disbursements. And as I said, we did try to prepay some things for services. We're allowed to prepay services, so where we could prepay services, we did.
I noticed there is a payroll entry. On June 4th, for $650, there's one on the 2nd for $3,956. There's one on the 4th for $650. There's one on the 9th for $14,000. I mean, I know we're doing every 2 weeks payroll, but just that one for $650, I kind of wonder.
And they repeated again on the 18th.
On the 4th of June, there's a payroll entry for $650. There are a couple smaller, and then there's one on the 2nd for $3,956. Are those just...
Those are probably payments of the payroll taxes that were withheld from the...
So those are payroll taxes?
Probably.
Okay. All right. Do we have any other questions about the disbursements? If not, do I have a motion to approve the June disbursements? Patton made the motion. Second?
I'll second.
Kristen, second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you all for that report on the disbursements. As you said, that was a big month for the library. Now we'll move on to the review of the June financial report. That's also in your packet. It's right here. If you'll take a moment to look at this. And I will go ahead and ask Ms. Teresa, this will be your last month presenting to the board anything. And so Teresa, Sheila, and Rose, if there's anything within the financial report that you feel like we should be aware of. I noticed the letter on the front, if we want to just start out there with some explanation of the last paragraph that starts, management has elected to omit substantially all the disclosures required.
For the June, our contract, our engagement letter stated that we would provide a compilation instead of a preparation, which is what we've been doing up to this point for the audits. so that the auditors could start with those financial statements. Mm-hmm. That letter just basically says that we are not going to include with it the cash flow statement or all the notes that go with it, just because we've never prepared those. Mm-hmm. And so that just basically says we're not including those with these.
So was there a discussion with management where the management did elect to omit disclosures required by accounting principles?
I don't think there was a discussion with management, no. That's just the standard letter.
Okay, well, that is a little bit misleading. I'm just thinking of people who may get a copy of that and think, ooh, why are we electing to omit things? The wording is just a little bit misleading, and it would be nice if we could have a letter that's more reflective of the statement you just made, rather than that it was the management elected. It seems like a conscious choice to elect to omit, when that is not in actuality what happened.
I don't know. I could probably change that letter.
Because this is an official document that goes on the records of the board.
I'm sorry?
Because that is, I would consider an official document for the record of the library and the board, that which, you know, and a statement like that can seem a little bit misleading.
It can for people who are not familiar.
And the majority of the people looking at this probably aren't in the financial arena. Right. So it would be nice if we could have something a little more accurate there, if you all don't mind that.
I mean, and maybe what you just said, Teresa, right, that, you know, the terms of engagement required us to prepare a compilation rather than cash flow. Does that make sense? Would that make sense?
So by when can we expect a replacement letter for this?
What is today? Thursday? Probably mm-hmm. by the middle of next week.
Okay.
Anyway.
So we'll look for that new wording. And aside from that...
I have a question.
Yes, Pat.
The last sentence says, we are not independent with respect to the library.
We make adjusting entries to the general ledger every month. And in order for us to be independent, I would have to send those adjustments to Rose or to the board and have them approved before I made them to the financial statements.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And it just basically says we're not independent, so we can't do an audit or a review of your financial statements.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so moving into the actual numbers, what do we need to focus on in our report here for the end of June? Is there anything significant you would like to point out to us as you prepared this that we should be aware of? Or
not that I'm aware of. I did notice that I think salaries are pretty close to being over, mm-hmm. and I think we expected that.
So. Okay.
All yeah, right. They were over. The good news is we underspent in other areas, so mm-hmm. the overall budget performance, we still ended up underspending our budget by $28,000.
Okay.
And so if you'll recall our discussion from the budget for next year's, but for the current fiscal year's budget, when we approved that last month, I carried over $25,000. Mm-hmm. So it feels pretty good. We got pretty close. I thought we would have about $25,000 to carry over. Mm-hmm. We have $28,000. So
that's good.
Hit our target. It was a lot of work by everybody, but mm-hmm. we hit our target. The other two things I would note that since this budget closed June 30th, we received the $40,000 from the county for the elevator. Mm-hmm. They had intended for it to come to us last fiscal year, but there was a disconnect somewhere over there. I don't know where. But Sean did bring it over to us last week. It's been deposited. We also got the Saltville money last week. Mm-hmm. They've had some illness in the county office, and so the person who normally makes those payments was unable to make them, and so Brian intervened and got it made, but it'll also arrive last week, so that that's revenue that we expected to come last fiscal year, but we'll have to count in this fiscal year. Okay. And of that $40,000, we've already spent $23,000 because we had to make the down payment on the elevator. Mm-hmm. So we basically fronted the money out of our reserves.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else that Sheila? Okay. Rose, anything else you want to bring up? Teresa? Okay. If you all, board, as you're looking through this, if you have any questions, this is kind of a big one. This has got a lot of information in it. It's great that we did come in so close to what was anticipated. So congratulations to all of you. I know this has been a team effort, and it's been a big Herculean effort the whole year. So I really appreciate everyone who has had anything to do with the financials, because it has been, like I say, Herculean. That's just a review for us, so we don't need to vote on that. But is everybody else okay moving forward from this, or would you like a couple more minutes to look this over? Any questions, Nellie? Do you have any questions about it?
No, I would have so many. My mind is just boggled.
Okay.
I don't know enough to ask a question.
And also for the whole board, as you review these things like this throughout the month, I know that Rose and Sheila would be happy if you have questions throughout the month to come and meet and ask those questions. So
absolutely,
don't hesitate. Absolutely. If ever it does get overwhelming for just this one meeting, mm-hmm. come in and ask questions mm-hmm. if you feel you need to. Mm-hmm. With that, I think we can move forward to the director's report.
All right. So, a lot going on. The transition between the end of the fiscal year and the new fiscal year is always a busy time for everybody, and it has been for us too. I won't go over everything in the report since I sent you the written report. I did go to the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, since we're meeting in Marion this month. I took, citizens' time to give them my 3-minute update about everything we've been doing. Got nice comments from Lori about the summer reading in Chilhowee and the Lincoln Tunes for Tots program that Tracy's been doing. I talked to the chairman before the meeting about the grant proposal and internet in Atkins. He had some good ideas, some good suggestions for us. So that was that meeting. I did want to mention that we are not accepting donations of books in Marion right now because the Friends have not been able to have a book sale, and the garage is so full that we have ask people not to leave any donations with us for a while. I have talked to Beverly about it, and they're working it. I don't have a date yet, but mm-hmm. we're going to talk about reopening a little later, but hopefully somewhere coordinated with reopening would be a good time. Mm-hmm. And the other branches are in the same situation. Chris has a ton of stuff that she needs to have, so she's planning to have a sale shortly after reopening. And I know Heather has had some issues. Somebody who was evidently cleaning out a house left something like 25 boxes on the back porch. I mean, just left them stacked up on the back porch.
Oh, wow.
And so she's also has capacity issues. So we're all kind of maxed out right now on donations. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate that people want to help us out, but we just can't take any more right now mm-hmm. until we get some of that off the table.
Okay.
I mentioned the outdoor lockers. I think those are going to be very popular with patrons. We have had a technical glitch because they were supposed to send us 3 master keys. So the master key looks like this to lock and unlock the lockers. Mm. They're supposed to send us 1 for every set of lockers, but they only sent 1.
Oh.
And so we have reached back out to them to ask them to send us the other 2. So that we'll be able to go. The Marion ones are set up, so we'll go ahead and be able to start in Marion, but Chilhowee and Saltville may have to wait to actually use them until we get the keys for them.
How does that work?
So, I don't know if you've ever been like in a gym that has a locker with a digital lock.
I understand lockers. I just wondering how you, a patron, can come in and pick out a book out of a locker.
So they're going to call us to make, when they call us to make a hold, then we'll offer them the option of having it put in the locker. And so we will use the last four digits of the library card number, and so we'll set the locker. We'll tell them which locker their materials are going to be, and we'll keep a spreadsheet at the desk where we'll say Tom Copenhaver has locker number one, whatever materials. They'll check the materials out to you, stick them in the locker with your last four digits of your library card number, and lock it. And then you come whenever you want.
So you're changing the lock.
Every time somebody uses it, we reset the lock. Okay. That's exactly right. And people will have 72 hours. We'll put stuff in there. After 72 hours, if they haven't picked it up, then we'll take it out so that somebody else can use the locker.
Where will the lock be kept?
The key?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So each branch will be responsible for keeping it in a secure place. They all have locked storage. Okay. Yeah, they all have a locked storage box or a locking cabinet. So we
that the patrons would have access to?
No, so the patrons will just, it's a digital lock on the front of the locker.
Okay, so they don't need that.
They don't need the key.
They don't need that.
They just need their code, so the last four digits of their library card number, unless they want something else. They can tell us, I don't want those, I want a different code, we'll use a different code. But so they'll just put in those digits and they'll take their stuff out.
Okay.
And we'll have instructions on the front of the lockers to tell them exactly what to do. Okay?
Yeah.
And so we, once they're all ready to use, we'll put out a press release and the newspaper will publish it. But I don't want to do that until they're all ready.
Mm-hmm.
So other things, let's see. Back to my notes. We also have the final versions of the logo I got from Darren this week. So all the different formats and all the scalable stuff. So I think I'm going to go ahead before we do the reopening. I'm planning to do an interview with Stephanie about, you know, when patrons come back, here's all the cool stuff they're going to see. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good time to roll out the new logo as well. Mm-hmm. And so we'll announce the new logo as part of the reopening. So we'll have stuff ready. We're not going to spend a lot of money with a lot of promotions. We will make some bookmarks and some stuff like that. But just to, we'll get it up and announce it and show it off to people.
Mm-hmm.
Our outreach has continued, is about to ramp up in a major way. The Friendship Cafes are starting up in all three towns, and so Rita has been working very hard with the different coordinators to set up book deliveries for each of them. So in addition, as you know, we've been doing Francis Marion Manor and Valley Healthcare, but we'll now be doing the District 3 Friendship Cafe in Saltville and Chilhowie and in Marion. And so we have a lot of new materials, obviously, that will be going out in those boxes. So we'll now have five boxes delivered and five boxes swapped out. But I think they're going to be delighted with a lot of the new materials that we have for them.
Are any of those takeaway tablets going to the nursing homes?
Yes.
I would anticipate that would be a big hit.
That was definitely part of our budget, was to provide those to them.
That's great.
Yeah. I just wanted to highlight for you those in the collection area, those six new databases that the Library of Virginia added to Find It Virginia. Instead of a lot of them, particularly the Job Now and the Vet Now, are not your standard databases. These are services that are available to people. So the Job Now offers resume coaching, it offers interview coaching, and they have live people every day from, I think it's 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. at night, so people can call in and get help on things they need to do to get a job. They can get kind of career counseling, career advice, so it's much more than a database. There's data, there's information available, but there's also coaching, and the same for Vet Now. Starting in September, they're going to have another service called Help Now, which will be homework help.
Oh.
And it'll be the same principle, so people can call and get homework help from live from human beings.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so those are, I think those are really exciting different applications. The Entrepreneurial Learning Initiative is actually a curriculum, and it's kind of to help people become entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And so it's, again, it's more than just look at some articles or some books. It's, they walk you, you sign up and you take the curriculum and you get feedback and assignments and stuff like that. So I think that'll...
That's great.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of...
That might be a good thing to partner with. Like Ken Heath is always trying, you know, the town of Marion, they're always talking about how to encourage small businesses to open here, and that might be a really good resource to let him know we have access to through...
Right.
You know,
library,
the library
Virginia.
Card.
Right.
So,
and the same with the XL5 Business Video Library. Mm. That was very much targeted at the business community,
yeah.
So that we have resources that will be interesting to them as well.
That's great.
In the finance area, now that we've gotten the payroll services up and running,
mm-hmm.
successfully, we had only two small glitches with that, and we got through our first paycheck with the new payroll system, and in August we'll start introducing the online timekeeping that goes with that,
mm-hmm.
Which will be a lot more efficient. We will no longer have to do the hard copy papers and fax them around and sign them and
mm-hmm.
walk them everywhere.
Right.
People will just go into an app, enter their hours, send it to their supervisor, and they're done.
That's great.
So it'll be a lot faster and more efficient for everybody. But having conquered that hill, we are now attempting to scale the QuickBooks hill.
You can breathe, right?
Well, QuickBooks is the next challenge. Sheila has been spending a lot of time on the phone with them, trying to get our Lawhorn information converted into a format that QuickBooks will understand.
Okay.
They assured us this could be done, but as they're attempting to do it, they are encountering difficulties. So,
okay.
So we will keep plugging on that. But Sheila also was able to persuade our colleague from With Grayson to come over and coach her, so we're going to host her next week on Tuesday. So we're looking forward to that.
Nice.
And
With
Grayson Regional Library.
Thank
you. Yep. And I think the last one I wanted to mention is our Category 2 E-rate project was finally signed off on by the coordinating entity, and this is the one that's going to do the wiring. So the Wi-Fi upgrade in Chilhowee, the Wi-Fi upgrade in Saltville, and some wiring and routing in this building. So that project that has been going on literally for months, all the paperwork has finally been approved and signed off on, so we'll see that work happening in the next couple of weeks.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that report. Do you have any questions for Rose on the report? Thank you. Yeah, thank you all for everything you do here to keep us going smoothly. It's a lot.
Got a lot going on.
We do.
Look,
we do. That's a lot going on. Oh, no, here they go. Okay, so let's move on to old business. The summer reading highlights. Yes, is this Tracy, the old business?
Well, summer reading has gone really well in all the branches. As you know, each one has a little different flavor.
Right.
Since Tracy's here, I'm happy to let Tracy talk about Marion.
It's just always so much fun. So every little animal, their kids have their names up there on the board. Now, we're missing about 15 as of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But, those are all the kids that are involved in our summer reading program this year.
That's
so
great.
Not as many as we usually have, but we expected that this
right.
summer. And as Rose and I said today, we're having programs in person, and so the smaller numbers are actually good right now. It's going really well. We've just had so much fun. I'm actually going to be sad for it to end next
yeah.
week.
It's already over so fast.
That is amazing.
It just happened really fast. I did want to tell you a really cute story from yesterday at the Lincoln. We were talking about cats and dogs, because it's tails and tails. And so we took this little craft, and it's just basically you fold and then you glue. And this little boy was there, and he was, I bet, 2.5. and he pushed on the glue, and he did this, and then I set it up for him, and the cat stands up, and he just went, oh, look, Mama, and it popped at me. And he picked it up and hugged it, and he went all the way out the door. It was the cutest thing I ever saw in my whole life.
That's a great library story.
Right. He was really happy. The cat popped at him, and he was happy. So yeah. It just so happened he's a kid who's cat crazy, so he was excited about that. I wanted to show you guys this murder mystery game that we did with our game of Clue with our teens so far this summer. We've done a lot of crazy stuff. We had there's still the thing up behind you, the Disney Teen Night, the sequel, because, the first Disney Teen Night, we had a lot of leftover activities. And, it's fun. We've got a lot of kids around. It's basically the game of Clue, but in a library.
So it's a live action. It's live action.
Yes, so it's been super fun for these teens that we are closed on Tuesday evenings, so they have the whole library to themselves.
Oh, yeah.
So these are clues that Nellie's holding, just like in the game of Clue, like a method, a motive, and a suspect, and we hid them all around the library, and then we gave them clues, so they had to find them, which was...
Well, I think we need to have that for a meeting one night.
Oh, it was fun. Yeah. It was quite an adventure. In fact, I should probably use the same clues for you guys as I did for them, because I thought they were very clever and great, but they were terribly confused by a lot of them. Mostly because they didn't know how to use a card catalog. So, whenever that skill, they could figure out those clues pretty easily. And then, for example, like we would say, "There's the witch has a clue for you," and so they'd go all over looking for a witch. Well, there happens to be a Halloween witch in that upper stairwell, and she had a clue up her sleeve. So they'd collect them, and they got to stealing them from other people, and
That's funny.
So then they all have a little clue book and they write it, and then they went crazy stealing each other's clue books. So we had 24 that night, and it was crazy. And then this past Tuesday, we had 15. And this next Tuesday, we have that auction we do, and then that's all set and done for the teens until we do the week before school starts, we'll do a just chill kind of a night. Play a board game, calm down a bit, be with other teenagers before you start school. And the little ones are having fun, and we're serving all preschools, and we went to every summer school and dealt with all the kids at all the schools.
Wow.
All the branches.
You had bingo?
We had
the dance party.
So I'm trying to do very low-key programming. It's not like the big dinosaur nights or whatever, just trying to do very low-key things like a dance party and bingo night, which a lot of people were here for bingo, and they loved it.
That's great.
Well, thanks for all you did.
It's fun. So.
And Chilhowie has been very successful. So her approach has been to do one family story time on Tuesday mornings at 11 in the shelter for the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And she's had, the rangers from the park. She's had people doing puppets. She's had a lot of different activities for story time. But then they also have the food bank, Fish and Loaves, has been serving a meal, and the children walk away with a food supply for the coming week. So
that is great.
Yeah. So she's had a different approach, but has also worked really well.
Yeah.
And she's had about 50 every week at her
amazing
event.
And that's great.
And she had to do it in the gym one day because it was raining, so they couldn't do it outside.
She had 70. This past week.
Wow. Yeah. Word gets around about that premium.
Yeah.
Well, and she's had a lot of volunteers because she has to with that number. Mm-hmm. She has to have people helping out. So but she's had a good group of volunteers. Chris, obviously Saltville is much more limited to what they're able to do. So they can't really do inside programming because they just don't have room. So she has the kits for everybody to pick up. And so in addition to she has a theme every week of Tales and Tales, and then she also has hand-selected books for each child. So in addition to picking up their kit, they also get books that have been chosen for them.
Mm. So, yeah, that's cool.
And she has about 38 people participating this summer. So
I think all the communities in Smith County are really blessed to have these resources and these people who take such an interest in the children. Because really, it is a big deal.
Yeah, it's fun. I forgot to mention that Darren Handy, who did Under Logo, also brought a possum to Storytown last week.
Oh, so wow.
That was very exciting.
A real one or a stuffed one?
A real one.
Yeah. And the whole time he was talking, she just kept climbing on his shoulder, and she just kept climbing and looping, and the whole time she just never stopped moving on his purse. Yes, a possum. Yes. So he told us all these incredible facts about possums, and the kids were really focused for a few minutes, and they were kind of like,
tails and tails.
But the parents were really into it, yeah.
I'm sure.
And I didn't realize.
Maybe need parent story time.
All the cool things about possums.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Fascinating creatures.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for that report. That was entertaining and interesting. All right, Rose, you want to move on to the grant application process?
Sure.
Progress?
Yes. So we, the NASA at your library, or NASA at my library grant is due next week, and so we will get that submitted. I wanted to tell you that I've had a change in the plan for the ARPA grant from the Library of Virginia. This is the one where I was going to buy a vehicle mm-hmm. so we could move the internet around the county. Mm-hmm. And so in talking to the staff, I convened the team meeting to talk about, okay, how would this work in real life? And my very wise staff said, well, Rose, that sounds great, but people can't schedule when they need the internet. Mm. So if you say, I'm going to be here Monday for these hours and here Wednesday for those hours, what if people need the internet at other times? And so people just can't schedule when they need the internet. And that was a very wise observation. So I said, y'all are exactly right. So, I mean, we had hoped to, by doing it in the vehicle, you could offer printers and laptops and help. And so, but we're just not going to be able to do that quite yet. So I've recalibrated the plan, and instead I'm going to get routers and find partners in the community who will host our router, and then we will pay for the router and we will pay for the data plan, and the folks will allow people to come to their property to have access to internet provided by Smith County Public Library for free for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like that.
Right. So we don't have the printers and the laptops, and we're not able mm-hmm. to offer that full service, but we are able to offer 24/7 internet. Right. So I've spent a fair amount of time over the last week and a half kind of driving around, seeing where I have cell signal, talking to the county. I've talked to the county, and I've talked to Dennis Carter at the school board, and figuring out where are the places and looking at population distribution maps. And so the places I've come up with so far are Atkins, and that's what I was talking to mm-hmm. Charlie Atkins about. And driving around, it's very clear that the churches are one of the places that are that have the parking lots and are there, and where patrons coming to use the library's Wi-Fi would not necessarily be interfering with their business. Mm-hmm. So I thought about like stores and convenience stores, but then, you know, they won't necessarily want their parking lot occupied mm-hmm. by people who are just sitting there using internet. So I think churches are probably our best bet. Mm-hmm. So I will be, and then Rich Valley is the other place. So Atkins, Rich Valley was identified by the county as a place that needs help. Kendra told me that Sugar Grove is being taken care of, because I had thought that Sugar Grove might be one of the places. Mm-hmm. And she said that the county has a grant mm-hmm. and that is going to take care of Sugar Grove. Mm-hmm. So that's one off my list. There are some places in Saltville, low income areas. So I'm thinking if I can, like, I think maybe the Saltville Rescue Squad might be a good place to try and put one out in Saltville. Mm-hmm. And I haven't identified where the fourth one would go, but I'm looking for four, and then we'll work out the partnership agreements with mm-hmm. folks. But if you have ideas or suggestions, I'd be happy to have them. Mm-hmm. I will say I drove out in Chilhowie on Sunday, kind of in the White Top area, and I didn't find any obvious candidates to be partner hosts for us.
Not much of anything.
I really didn't.
Except the wilderness is beautiful.
It is beautiful, but I didn't find really very many options for who might host us. The places where there were, I did find some churches, obviously, but the signal was really bad, so I don't think it would work there.
Yeah.
But if anybody has suggestions or ideas, so I just wanted to tell you that the plan I told you about earlier has
shifted.
But I think it's a sensible shift. I think that also means that there will be money from that grant left to help pay for the website redesign, which would be helpful. And then the Emergency Connectivity Fund grant is still about the Wi-Fi hotspots to be loaned. I will also tell you that getting providers to give you quotes right now is very, very difficult because everybody is doing exactly what we're doing.
Wow.
And so all the vendors are maxed out. And so I had somebody, one of them wrote back to me today saying, I just can't find the devices for you. You know, he says, I know we talked about what we wanted. And he said, I just am having a hard time finding them. So we'll see what we can
get. It seems like everybody's having a supply issue.
But the fact that the federal government has put out, you know, and it's nationwide. Every school, the Emergency Connectivity Fund, the only people who are eligible for that $7.1 billion are schools and libraries.
Oh, wow.
But every school and library
is looking
for the same stuff. And so there's going to be a shortage, I suspect. So that's the
grant application.
The grant application process.
All right. What about, let's talk about the August strategic planning retreat and assessment meeting. If you could remind us all of the dates for that.
Yes. So that is Saturday, August 21st, from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
And that will be held?
That will be held out at Hungry Mother in the place that they are now calling the Lakeview Event Center, but I believe you all know as the restaurant.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Are we also doing a something on Friday?
Yes. Okay. We would like to do a social dinner with the two ladies from the Library of Virginia on Friday night, just so you all get to talk to them and they get to know you a little bit before we charge in to work on Saturday morning.
Okay.
So I don't have a venue yet, so I appreciate suggestions.
Just keep your calendars open for Friday evening, a dinner.
Yes.
What is the time on Saturday?
Saturday is 9 in the morning until 2:30 in the afternoon.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. So the... And I have already signed the contract with Hungry Mother. They gave us a wonderful price for the room, and they'll provide our lunch, and they will provide beverages through the day.
Okay. So, and this is instead of our regular board meeting in August. We will not have a board meeting in August. This will be instead of a board meeting. It'll be the retreat.
And so all of these assessment meetings that you all are having is part of the homework for the strategic retreat. So, you know, everybody has their committee, and I know most of the meetings have been scheduled. Kristen, I don't know if you and Helen and Josh have worked out a time yet. And so I think everybody else, I think, has a time scheduled. So when you have those, I don't think Nellie and Janet and Chris already had their meeting. I think Nellie can tell you it doesn't take a long time. You're just kind of going through the list and working with the staff members to say, we have this, we don't have this, we want to have this, or we don't think we need to have this. You know, whatever you think of as going through those checklists. And that will be, you know, the work product when we go in to start our discussions will be kind of going through each group's report about where we stand and where the challenges are. And then when in the afternoon session, we'll be working on taking those hot strengths and weaknesses, you know, things we don't need to worry about and then things we do need to worry about, and prioritizing those and working our way out what are the things we need to do in year one, year two, year three, year four, year five. Okay. So does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Questions?
This is something that the two of you specifically were really gung-ho for when you first came on the board, was having that 5 and 10 year plan, and this is our chance to really get into the meat of that. So I think this will be really good for everybody. So thanks for doing all the work to pull it together.
Well, and I apologize. I had to send you a whole nother big email the other day because suddenly they launched the new 2021 version. And I didn't even know there was a 2021 version coming. So But so you all now have the 2021 version of the overall standards and the new checklist. Yeah. The biggest change is an effort to introduce diversity, equity, and inclusion across the report and through all the checklists.
All right. So the assessment meetings, we'll get those done.
Yes. All we're right. doing ours tomorrow.
We are. Okay. Yeah, that'll be good. And then we're ready for new business now.
Yes, we are.
And that is a plan for full reopening in August. All right, so what is the plan for the full reopening?
So our plan, we've talked about it among the management team. The numbers continue to be low in Smith County, although all the news reports I read about the Delta variant and how it's spreading rapidly in unvaccinated communities makes me worry a little bit, so we'll keep monitoring those numbers. But so far, the numbers in Smith County are still staying very low. So assuming that continues, our plan is to reopen on August 2nd. And full reopening meaning in Marion, we will be open Monday through Saturday. We will have no restrictions. We will have folks, we will be open our evening hours. In Marion, the schedule will be open 55 hours a week. So Monday and Tuesday will be 10 to 8, Wednesday will be 10 to 6, Thursday will be 10 to 8, Friday will be 12 to 6, Saturday will be 10 to 4. So, and we will reopen this room to public use. In Chilhowie and Saltville, they'll be going to Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday for the time being. Chilhowie historically has been closed on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. We'll see. She hasn't decided yet about Friday, whether she thinks people would prefer Saturday over Friday. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. Chris was initially thought she might be open for 3 hours on Friday, but is in the same situation. She's going to do Saturday, and then if we have demand, we can consider Friday. This time in our schedule, we're scheduling two people in the library at all times. And so that means, particularly for Chilhowie and Saltville, that the hours and the cost of the hours matters a lot. So if we can't, the cost of being open for 3 hours, is 7 hours of staff time. And so, just trying to control costs, will we have enough business in those 3 hours to justify spending the money for the part-time salary? Mm-hmm. So for now, we're going to start slow and see if there's demand. Okay. So that's our plan.
All right. Sounds great.
And as I said, I'm going to kind of make a splash. I will do an interview with Stephanie, have her come over, see some of the new materials, roll out the logo, talk about, kind of our ambitions now that we're back to normal, and invite people to come in. We are also going to do Amnesty Week for return of materials. We started charging fines again. But that first week after we reopen, we're going to do Amnesty Week so we get people to bring back stuff that they forgot they had, because we've started sending out overdue notices. And so we think people will start to want. So we thought the first week after we reopen is a good week for amnesty, so we get a lot of stuff returned. We have a good bit of material that's been out for a long time. Mm. So we hope to see some of that come back.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan, and I think it'll be nice to have that article and something for the community to see exactly what's going on. And because there are a lot of exciting things going on all across the system, and new things that we're not accustomed to seeing, and we're really happy about all that. So thank you all. Is there anything else y'all would like to discuss with Rose about any of this new business or the grants or the reopening? Anything else you all as a board would like to ask Rose or anybody else in attendance?
I think it's been explained very well.
I agree. Okay, well, thank you for the report on everything. And now we will be moving to item 11, which is closed session. And I will go ahead and read this. It says, I move that the board go into executive session pursuant to section 2.1-34.A.1
of the Code of Virginia for the purpose of discussing legal matters regarding lawsuit which has been filed by a former employee. I make that motion. Do I have a second? Patton, all in favor?
Aye.
I think that was unanimous. So we will go ahead and move into closed session.